We begin the current daf, the site the daf Chav Beis. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, Rabbi Yeshua had said in the Mishnah that there are certain individuals that are called Mevali Olam. They upset the harmony, they confuse the whole world, because they're not just fitting the role that they are, they're actually trying to be one thing, but actually being something else. And one of them was what's called the Rasha Arm, which is a crafty, wicked person. If you're wicked is one thing, but you're crafty and wicked and people are not even clear about what you're doing, that's one of the Mevali Olam. Now, the interpretation of Ula, which came to the top of this Amud, said that it's someone that learns Chumash, learns Mishnayos, he knows the text, but he doesn't understand the deeper reasoning, which in our lexicon they call the Gemara, which explains the interpretation behind it. So he's a Rasha because he doesn't really know he's learning, but he seems like he is. So his arm is crafty because people are going to honor him as if he's a Talmud Chacham. And again, it causes confusion to the world. So in a related discussion, the Gemara says, Itmar, we learned, someone that type of person where he learns Chumash, learns Mishnayos, but he doesn't serve Talmudic scholars. Again, which is this concept of getting to the deeper understanding and the logic behind the halachas. So Rabbi Elazar Aimi says, Hareza Ama Aretz. He's what's classified in halacha as an Ama Aretz, which in halacha that tells us that he's suspect regarding taking off maestres, also regarding tyrus, we consider his elements tame. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amar, he says even further, he says, Hareza Bur, which is even more deficient than Ama Aretz. Rabbi Yana Aimi, he says, Hareza Kuti. We even consider him like a Kuti, which are on some level, although they converted, that's a whole debate regarding how sincere that was, and the rabbis went and made their wine and their breads forbidden for Jewish people to consume. Now, such a person is considered like a kuti, and the reason is, since he doesn't serve Tamid Chachamim, he doesn't make himself subservient and to hear their interpretations, so he's not particular about the sages and what they have to say, and therefore comes out that really his whole learning was just self-serving, and just that he should appear like a Talmud Chacham. And therefore, he's really like a kuti, and hence we shouldn't eat from his wine, off from his bread. Rav Yaakov, he says, he's a mogish. He says even more. He says he's like a machashib, he's like a sorcerer, where that they do this, what's called achizas anayim, where he makes things seem to be which are not, which it captures the eyes, but it steals the heart. So he makes it look like something's happening, which would be called, let's say, some type of a magic. So to this person, does the same type of a thing, where he appears, he shows you one thing, but really he's not, really he's a fake, he's a phony. Now, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, Mistabek Rav Acha B'Yaakov. It actually makes more sense, the last interpretation, that he's like a mogush from the Magi, those who are like sorcerers, because the Amri Inche, like people say, Ratin Magusha, which means to say that the Magusha, the Mechashif, he makes his incantations, he says his spells, Layodah Mayomer, he doesn't even really know what he's saying. He doesn't know the interpretation of what it is or how it works. He just knows this is what he does, that he makes this type of a lachash, a type of a phrase, and that creates this type of a witchcraft or other things like that. So to this person, Tani Tana, where he have a Tana that didn't learn the Gemara, didn't serve Talmid Chachamim, and yet he's learning his Mishnayos, V'loyad Mayom, he doesn't know what he's saying. So it seems like he knows what he's saying. He's saying the Mishnayos, but really he doesn't know. So it's the same thing like these Magushis, and that's essentially why he's like a machashif. Now, related term about when the braisa, ezehu ama aretz. So it's actually machlokes regarding who do we consider so deficient that's like an ama aretz, like an ignoramus who suspect regarding tyrus and regarding his maestres, and that we consider a chazaka that what he touches to be tami. So the first opinion says kol she'en the kara kriyishma shachris ve'arves bevircheseha divrimer. Whoever doesn't say kriyishma in the morning and the evening with its brachis, so such a person definitely doesn't know anything, and therefore, Remeir says he's going to be considered an Ama Aretz, totally ignorant type of a person. But if he knows how to say Krishma, and he says it with his brachas, then he's not an Ama Aretz. Pachacham Ayrim, they say, Kol she'inu manich tefillin. If he doesn't put on tefillin, whereas the Mashur explains, meaning if he's saying Krishma without tefillin, so he's like, made Eidu Shekabet Alatzmoy, because it says in the Krishma to put on tefillin, and he's not putting on tefillin to say Krishma. So again, that means to say that he's an Ama Aretz. He says, Kol she'en le tzitzis bebigdei. If someone doesn't have tzitzis in his garment, he says, Kol she'esh le'banim einu megalim l'lum le'tayra. Whoever has sons and he doesn't bring them up to learn Torah. They say, as we mentioned this before, Even someone learns Chumash, Mishnais, but doesn't serve Talmid Chacham to get the deeper understanding of what the text means, he's considered an Am Haaretz. Now, Karbal Yishana, if he learns Chumash but doesn't learn Mishnais, Hariz Abur, that's even more deficient than he's Abur. Like Karbal Yishana, if he doesn't learn Mishnais or even learn Chumash, then Allah HaKazavayim, regarding such a person, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Vizirati is based Yisrael, that's based Yehud, that I will plant the house of the Jewish people and of Judea. Zera Adam is Zera Behema. The seed of men and the seed of animals mean they're considered like animals because they have no Torah knowledge. Now, related, the Gemara says, again, to this idea about knowing Mishnayis but not knowing the Gemara, which basically means to say that you can know Shulchan Aruch, but you don't know the logic behind it. You don't know what you're saying. That's considered Mevali Olam. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Yira es Hashem b'ni v'melech. Fear Hashem, my son and king. And the Gemara says, Im shayinim al tesarv, with shayinim don't mingle. So who's the shayinim that to fear Hashem you stay away from these people? So Amar Bitzchuk says, Eilu shayinim halachas. These are those that learn halachas, which in this context means to say the Mishnais. In Talmudic times, the Mishnah was the Shulchan Aruch, was the halacha, and the Gemara was explaining the logic behind it. So, and that is those people that are not Mishamish Tamid Chachamim. So they're not particular about the reasoning of the Mishnahis. All they know, this is the halacha. Those are people that are Shainim, and you should stay away from them. So the Gemara just asks Pshita, it's pretty obvious that that's the interpretation when it says, don't mingle with the Shainim. Why do we need the interpretation of Rabbi Yitzchak to tell us that that's who it refers to? So the Gemara says, you would think to say that the shayinim that it says to stay away from is not from the word of learning of Mishnayis, where, yes, as we said before, they're people you should stay away from because they don't really know what the text really means and the deeper understanding, so don't mix with those type of people. We would think that means to say that the word shayinim means to say from repeat, a repeat offender. Someone that repeats his sins, such a person you better stay away from. Why? Who could Rav Huna, like Rav Huna says, I'm Rav Huna. Says kiven sha'avar adma ve'er b'shana ba, once a person sins and then he repeats it, hutra loy, whereas the Gemara explains elsewhere, means to say, to such a person, it's like it's a permitted thing. You would think such a person that you really got to stay away from, at least someone that does bad and he knows that it's bad and he doesn't want to do it, okay, what's called a halbitzar. But someone that thinks it's permitted, you really want to stay away from kamashmo. That's what he basically says, and no, that's not what shayinim means. Who's really bad are those that are teaching halachas and they don't really know really what it means. They don't know the Gemara of the Mishnais. Tana, similarly we learned in the Braisa, Tanoim Mevali Olam. The Tanoim that teach the Mishnais, they confuse the world. So the Gemara says, Mevali Olam, Saka Daitach, you would think to say that those who learn Mishnais confuse the world. Why are they causing such bad to the whole world, to other people? So Amravini says it means Shemirin Halacha Metech Mishnais. It means those that teach and direct people what the halach is from their Mishnais, their Mevali Olam, because they're giving off erroneous psakim, because they don't know the reason of the Mishnais. Now, sometimes that causes that they compare things, because it doesn't say every circumstance in life in the Mishnais. Rather, you have to be able to compare it. Now, sometimes you compare things that are not comparable. Moreover, there are many Mishnais that the Gemara explains, Hamani, who is this? It's plainly he, it's that individual, and he's a yachid, and halach is not like that Mishnah. Moreover, that sometimes they don't know that there's an earlier machlekes rishayim, who does halacha follow? Therefore, again, those who paskin from the Mishnayos are giving over erroneous hayrais, and that's why such people are mevali olam. Tanin amehalcha is similar in the brisa. Amr Bishua says v'chim mevali olam. And he also discusses this. He says, what do you mean? Someone that learns Mishnayos confuses the world. V'aloi miyashvi olam him. To the contrary, they settle the world. Shneim like it says a pasuk in Chavakuk. Says halichis oilam loy, where it says that the paths of the worlds are his, whereas the Gemara expounds elsewhere, kol hashoyna halachas b'chol yom, whoever learns halachas every single day, muftach loy shu ben olam haba, shnem halichis oilam loy, meaning to say that the merit of the world belongs to him. So how can you say that those who learn halachas, mean the Mishnayis, are from the mevali oilam? So again, ela shemayin halacha mitech mishnah, it means to say that they paskin halacha from the Mishnah, without knowing the full background, those are people that confuse the world. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, other examples of Mevali Olam are Isha Prusha B'chulam. Is a woman that's a Prusha, that's ascetic, she removes herself from this world, that's again Mevali Olam. That's not the way the normal type of woman should be. So Tarabon learned the Braisa related to this, that Besula Tzalyonis, a woman that's very involved in prayer, or Valmana Shevavis, or a very friendly widow who, as a neighbor, comes and visits all her neighbors all the time, and Vekotin Shalei Kol Chadashim, and a minor that didn't yet finish its gestation period, its time in utero, weren't finished, which Gemara is going to explain exactly what does that mean. Hare Elam Valley Elam, those are people that confuse the world. Now, because as Rashi says, really these individuals are immoral and inappropriate type of a people, that they practice witchcraft, but they present themselves as righteous women, where she prays all day and she's friendly and she visits, just that people shouldn't check after them and we'll start wondering about them because, oh, everyone knows she's such a great person. So actually these people that are very much engrossed in prayer and the friendly neighbor woman are actually the Mevali Olam, because again, they give off the appearance one way, but really they're a totally different type of person. Now, nothing must in, is that really so? But Vamar Birchin said to the contrary, these two type of people that you said, this girl that's very much into davening and this widow who's very friendly, that they're Mevali Olam, Rabbi Yochanan says to the contrary, Lamadnu Yirischet Mebesulo, we learn what does it mean to fear sin from the girl, and the Kibul Schar Malmana, and how great is it to receive reward, whereas Gemara will explain how she went and exerted herself more than what was necessary to receive reward. So we learn how a person should exert themselves regarding a mitzvah to receive more reward. We learn that Malmana from a widow, as the Gemara explains. Yerischet Mebesula, the fear of sin from a virgin girl. Rabbi Yechanan Shamalahi Besula, because Rabbi Yechanan heard regarding a certain girl. The Nafla Apa Bukamar, she fell on her face and she said, Rabbanu Shalom, Master of the world. Barasa Ganeden, Ubarasa Gehenna, you created Ganeden, which is paradise, and you created Gehenna, the opposite. Barasa Tzadikim, now you created righteous people to inherit Ganeden. Ubarasa Rasham, you created wicked people to inherit Gehenna. Said the girl, Yiratzin Mulfanacha, may it be your will, Shlei Koshlu Bi B'nei Adam, that men do not stumble on me and to lose their portion in Gan Eden and to inherit Gehenim because of me being as a girl and creating problems for the men. So you see how great does it mean, the fear of sin, we learn that from the girl and from her tefillah nonetheless. And Kibbutz Char Ma'amonu, we learn the great reward of exertion for a mitzvah from a widow, Da'ahi Ma'amonu, because there was a certain widow, to have Be Kenishta B'Shivavusa, she had a shul in her neighborhood, but still, every day she would come and travel to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yechanan. So Amalah, so he said to her, Biti, my daughter, loy beis haknesset b'shevavusech? Is there no shul in your neighborhood? Why do you trek out to my shul over here? So Amalah, she said to him, Rebbe, my teacher, v'loy schar p'siyas eshli, don't I get the reward of the footsteps that I take to travel here? So therefore the Gemara's question is, so seemingly, what the two elements of the Besulat Salyanis, the girl that davens, and the Almana Shevavis, the friendly neighbor, to the contrary, we see that those two are not Mevali Olam, but actually we learn great things from them. So I think my answer is that Ki Kama, when did we say that they're Mevali Olam, that they're going to confuse the world? That's, you're right, that's only if they're fakes. Kugan Yechoni Basra TV, like Yechoni Basra TV, who she was a widow that was really a Machshefa. She was a woman that practiced witchcraft. Now, when it came time for a woman to give birth, she would, with her witchcraft, close the womb that the child couldn't come out. Now, after the woman was in a lot of pain, so she would come and she would say, oh, let me see, maybe I could beseech mercy, maybe my tefillahs will work. Now, she would really go home and stop her witchcraft, and then the child will come out. So she's what's called this Mevali Olam, because here she is, she looks like this great righteous woman, and she's creating all these problems. Now, one time, she had a worker working in her house. Now, she went to a woman's house who was, again, in the travails of childbirth. Now, the hired worker heard her witchcraft shaking in the vessel in their house, just like the child tries shaking in the mother's womb. And so she came and she opened up the pot cover, and guess what? The kishuv, the witchcraft, came out and the child was born. And everyone found out, how did that happen? They put it together that really she's a machshefa. Those are the types of women that we're saying that Amana Shevavis, the friendly neighbor widow, is really the Mevali Olam. But you're right, of course, if she's a true earnest, a widow or a girl that's really davening for right reasons, she of course is not considered Mevali Olam. To the contrary, we learn great things like Yerushet from such a girl. Now the Gemara asks, we said the third element is Mavali Olam, is my cotton shall kol lechadasha. What does it mean? Which literally translates as like a minor who kol lechadasha means to say that the 9 months of pregnancy have been completed. What does it mean, not completed? So Achar Tagim, here they interpret it means, I mean here in Bavel, it's a reference, it's an allegory to a Talmudic scholar who rejects and rebels in his teachers. Now he's called a kotten shel kol chadash, but it's because he ends up dying young. As the Gemara says in Masechet Chagiga, Daf Yemen Aleph, so it's like kol chadash, his months have not completed, again, how long he's supposed to live. Rabbi Abba Amar, he says, that's a reference to a student who has not yet reached the plateau of teaching others, but already start telling others what to do. The Amar Bavo, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, says, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Ki rabim chalolam hipila? Because many corpses she caused to fall, the atzum kol haragah, and how mighty are those who she has killed. So what does that mean? So although essentially the Pasuk is referring to an Isha Zara, which is a foreign woman, not one's wife, so it says, Ki rabim chalolam hipila, she has caused many men to die, again because of her infidelity. Now that's a reference also for a student that also is acting inappropriately, like this Isha Zara, where why is he killing other people? Because he has not yet reached the stage of paskening, and yet he paskens, he's causing other people to stumble, just like the Isha Zara, where the word hipila is related to the word of nafel, which is, again, we said he's called didn't come full term, and the woman miscarried. That's the nafel. So too, the stillborn is related to this Talmud Chacham, who also has not yet fully matured, and yet he's teaching others. And Vatsum Kal Harogeha, conversely, the end of the pasuk it says, and how mighty are those who she kills, Zet Talmud Chacham Shegila Harav Va'inamar. That's a Talmud Chacham who has reached the stage of teaching others, but yet holds back. That's from the word Atsumim, besides mighty, could also mean Eitzim, which means to close one's eyes, where they close their mouths and they don't tell others what to do. So that's the delicate balance that there is, which means to say if you're not ready and you do, you get punished. If you are ready and you don't, it's also because it also causes many people to die because they have no one teaching them what they should do. Now that the Gemara continues in Amud Beis, okay, so ad kama. So up until when is it fit? So what is the stage that you then switch to be fit for hara to teach others? That's ad arba and shnin, that's when you reach age 40. Now that the Gemara says, is that so? But Rabba, he taught others, he paskened halacha, and yet he only lived till age 40, as the Gemara says himself, and then he died. So how could he have paskened if he was only died at age 40? Now the Gemara says, Bishavim. That's, he was able to paskin because you're allowed to if you're equal in wisdom to the greatest person in the city, or because if it's known older than him, then of course you could paskin. But if there are older people, then you don't paskin until you don't teach halacha, you don't tell people what to do until you're over age 40. Now the Mishnah said also others that are mvali oilam are umakis pushin, which are the wounds of the ascetic, of the person that removes himself from seemingly anything mundane and physical in this world. So Tarabon Linda Braisa that expounds on this and says, Shiva Prushanhain. There are seven types of people that are ascetics that remove themselves from this world, and the Gemara will explain all these seven things. Parish Shechmi, you have the parish that acts like those of Shechem. Parish Nikfe, the one that's knocking. Parish Kizoi, the one that's bloodletting. Parish Meduchi, the one that's like a pestle. Parish Machaybosi Basenda, the one that says, what is my obligation? I'll do it. Parish Mahava, the one that's ascetic because of love. And Parish Meira, the one that removes himself from this world out of fear. So the Gemara explains. Parish Shechmi is Zeho Eisa Maisa Shechem, is the one that does like the biblical people of Shechem, where they circumcise themselves, but not for the sake of heaven. They only did it for their own, as they were told, then they're going to be able to get all the Jewish women. So to this person, that's a parish, that does something seemingly removing from the physical world, which is what circumcision is, he really does it for his own pleasure, because he wants people to honor him, and he's not doing it for the sake of heaven. Parish Nikvi is Zeha Mankiv Hizraga. This is someone that bangs, he knocks his toes, because he goes in a very humble way with his toe by his heel, and he doesn't pick his foot up even from the ground, he just shuffles, and because of that he knocks his toes on the rocks. So again, these are all the inappropriate prushim. Parash Kizai, the bloodletting parish. Amar Nachman Yitzchak Zeh Hamakas Dam Liksam. This is a reference to someone that lets his blood out by knocking into walls because he makes himself like he closes his eyes, he doesn't want to look at women, and because of that, he knocks his head into a wall and blood starts coming out. So he's the bloodletting parish. Parish Meduchia, like a pestle, because Amar Rabbi Shila says the Mishapeya, he's so bent over Ki Meduchia like a pestle, like it has. It's so bent over, and that's how he is, again, overdoing what should be normal way of conducting oneself with this world. And Parsh Machavasiv HaSendah, the one that's a separate person who says, what's my obligation, and I'll do it. Where, teach me what to do, and I'll do it. Now, that the Gemara asks, Hamal Yusi, that seemingly is a praiseworthy thing. If the guy doesn't know what's prohibited and the particulars and the nuances of the mitzvahs, and he's coming to learn, so why is he considered in the seven of this inappropriate prushim? El de amar machayvasi su. No, rather what it is that he says, what else am I obligated to do that I have not yet done ve'asen, and I'll do it. In other words, he's showing himself as if I did everything, but I want to do more. That's like a type of a parish, again, inappropriate, where he's really not really parish, and really is just using it as a vehicle to attain more honor and glory. And then the last two are parish mehava, someone that is an ascetic, out of love for the reward of mitzvahs, not because of his love for the commandment of the Creator. And Parash Meir, the one who removes himself from this world out of fear of sinning. Now, why are those two inappropriate? Because really, what a person should do is he should do the mitzvahs out of his love for Hashem Yisbarach, who commanded, who's Hashem our God, and the reward will come, but we're doing it because of our intimate relationship with Hashem. We understand why it's good for us. That's why we should do it now. Amrli Abaye v'Rav L'Tana. However, Abaye and Rav told to the one who was teaching this price of the last two, said, Loi tisni parash me'abba parash me'ir. Don't list these last two from the seven that are inappropriate prushim, because the Amr v'Hudim Arav, lo'ilam yasik odam mitayr v'mitzvah, a person should always involve himself in learning Torah and in fulfilling mitzvahs. Afel l'shalai l'shma. Don't think you're being hypocritical, even if it's not for the sake of heaven, because sh'mitayr sh'lai l'shma bo l'shma. Because if a person, like a ladder, you're doing it not for the sake of heaven, that you get yourself there, and then you could attain lishma. So don't try to jump right away for lishma, even if it's shalei lishma, don't worry. And therefore, parash mehaba, parash meyira, even if you're doing it for other, as long as not for evil reasons. But if you're doing it not totally for the sake of heaven, remove those because they're not inappropriate, that is appropriate to get and attain one day the level of lishma. Amr of Nachma Yitzchak, he says, the metamra, that which is hidden, is metamra, is hidden from people. Ud megalya megalya, that which is revealed to people is revealed. But Beidina Rabba, the great court, which in front of the heavenly court, everything is revealed, and litpara mehane the chofu gundi, he says, and they should punish those, which again related to this theme that we're told about, these fake prushim that they're seemingly so removed from this world, should punish those that conceal themselves with their talis, and they show themselves as if they're parish, but they're not really parish. So we don't know, we can't tell. But let the heavenly court, who knows that, punish those type of people. Related, Amar la Yane Malkal Debesi, King Yane said to his wife, now the backdrop of this story is that the prushim, meaning the righteous people that kept to the Messiah of the Torah, hated Yanei HaMelech because he killed many of the Talmidei Chachamim, and he ended up becoming a Tzeduki, which are those that don't, quote, believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, as the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin. Now, when he was dying, his wife was afraid of the Prushim that they shouldn't remove the kingship from her sons. So she told her husband Yanei to beseech mercy from the Prushim because of her and her sons. On that, Yanei said to his wife, Al tisyar mina prushim, don't be afraid of the prushim, because they're righteous people. They're not going to take revenge on you or your sons for what I did, because you didn't sin to them, and they're not those type of a people. Moreover, v'leim misha in the prushim, don't be afraid of those that are not the prushim, rather like the tzedukim, because they're my friends. They're also not separate from this. In other words, in this sense, the prushim we're saying in the righteous way. They're not those type of prushim, and therefore they don't care. Ela minatzvum. You know who you should be afraid of? The ones who literally means they're died, with a Y, D-Y-E, is because that what you see, their coloring, is not natural. Rather, they're dyed on the outside, but their inside is not the same as their outside. Shadayim in the Prushin. They seem like those that are separate from this world. Shemaseyin Kemaisa Zimri. There's a famous aphorism where their acts are like how Zimri acted, who he was wicked. Umevakshin Schar Kepinchas, and yet they request reward like Pinchas, which in that episode was that Zimri had done this sin and Pinchas came and killed him. So they do evil, they do wicked, but they tell people that, look, honor me like Pinchas, look, I'm a parish, I'm a very righteous person. Or as Rashi says, someone explained this regarding modesty, where Zimri was immoral and Pinchas was, for the sake of heaven, went in the kanoi, he went beyond that and he took revenge, where some people act immoral and they say, what do you mean, I'm very righteous. So again, that's the idea. He said those are people you should be afraid of because they're not Prushan and they're not in a Prushan. They make like they're Prushan and they're really bad. And again, this goes back to the theme that we said about those that are Mevali Olam. These are the Makas Prushan. They confuse the world because if you'd be bad, fine, we know you're bad. But you make like you're good, but you really act bad. Those are the Mevali Olam. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah where we said regarding this idea of that although the Saita, if she was unfaithful, then she gets this consequence. But in the previous Mishnah, we said that a schus could be taila, it could hold back the ramifications for a year, two, maybe even three. On that, our Mishnah says, Reb Shimon Naimi says, no. Ein schus taila b'mayim amarim, there could be no merit that prevents the bitter waters from doing its job. And he says as follows, because v'imat to'imar a schus taila b'mayim amarim, if you would say that some type of merit could prevent the bitter waters from doing its job, then mada atasa mayim b'fnei kol nashma shayisus, then you're going to, which mada means to say like, it's removing the color, it's lightening it. You're lightening the consequence of the water, what it does to a woman in front of all the coming women that are coming to drink. They're saying, oh, it's not so bad. I know you could drink and you could survive a little bit. Okay, fine. I'm not going to come out and admit my guilt. So if you're going to say that it's taila, people are not going to be afraid of drinking the water. We want them because we want that it shouldn't happen to them. Moreover, you're going to be giving a bad name for any woman that really is pure that drank, where she came out and nothing happened to her because she really was faithful. Sha'aymim, that people are going to say, no, Tamei is saying that really she really was unfaithful. It's just she had a certain merit that made it maintain. And again, therefore, it's going to cause bad rumors about a woman that really doesn't deserve that. And therefore, he says, no, there's no such a thing. There's no schus that's taila b'mayim amarim. Rabbi, I mean, he says, no, haschus is taila b'mayim amarim. The merits will prevent the water from working, but there is a difference. Because although a woman that was faithful will, instead of the punishments happening, she'll conceive and give birth to a child. So he says, so this woman is ve'eni yaled, this is ve'eni m'shabachas. She's somewhere in the middle. She's not going to give birth, and she's not going to get better, but the consequences are not going to happen right away. Ela misnavna v'hilachas, rather, she becomes more and more deteriorated and more despicable as time goes on, and l'saifi mesa ba'isa mesa, and at the end, she ends up dying with that same death. So he says that although it's not going to be confused with a tar woman, but again, it's not going to happen right away. If you have a certain schluss, rather, it becomes a gradual, slow process. We'll continue the Mishnah on the coming daf.